And then we will know what we are supposed to do in this year, 2024, in the light of God's plan for the next 30, 40 years. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I humble myself under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, I pray that you put the same unction anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring in the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom of God. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, those present, those watching online, all agreed to receive all those blessings and said, we welcome our online audience, those who are in diaspora, wherever you are in the world, as you join with us in this watch night service. I'm aware some of you may be watching live now, and others may be watching later in the day because you may be in America or Canada or some other place, and we're some hours ahead of you, and those in places like Australia, we're some hours behind you. So wherever it is you're listening, we trust this will meet you well. At the end of the Feast of Tabernacles in 2023, I was very disappointed. Because I was expecting the glory of God to come in 2023. I've learned something about God, and I'm still learning. In order to walk with God, you have to be honest. If you try and God, he doesn't deal in all those things. The Bible says he's light and in him is no darkness at all. So I asked God, I said, God, what happened? Because on my own side, as a person, the things God had shown me, the watching and praying always, you know, revelation, love. I, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, I was actually practicing those things. And I saw them in my life. Then there were so many signs, you know, our books, everything fell into place. And when I looked at what was going on in the world, the Russia-Ukraine war, this was, and then, you know, the Hamas war. I said, God will do something now, you know, to reverse these things. But it didn't happen. So I asked God. I will never forget it. Immediately after the Feast of Tabernacles, I had to travel to England. I went to go back to the UK. I was in Heathrow Airport. I traveled alone because, you know, Pastor Wiley had already gone ahead. Pastor Laolu, they were all waiting for me there. So I was alone. So I had to wait for my luggage and everything. I remember very clearly the Lord spoke to me. He said, you are ready as a person. He said, but the majority of the church, including a lot of your people, were not ready. He said, if the glory had come, you'll be crying now. Then he said to me, and even you are not as ready as you think you are. He said, you're ready. He said, but not to the degree that I wanted you to be ready. And then he downloaded these messages. It came as a series of revelations over the next many weeks while I was abroad. And he gave me the message for tonight. And I've entitled it, The Times of the Feast of Tabernacles. In the book of 1 Chronicles, in chapter 12, in verse 32, we read these words. And the sons of Issachar, turn with me there. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, where in the world are you? Yeah, I got it. And it's verse 32. This is the prophetic shadow of the prophetic ministry. And of the children of Issachar, I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. I don't want to hear Pastor Wega and the pastors alone. I want to hear you, the choir. I want to hear everybody. And of the children of Issachar, which were men of that had understanding of the times. Everybody say understanding of the times. To know what Israel ought to do. I'm going to stop there. The sons of Issachar typify the prophetic. And one of the main characteristics of the prophetic ministry is to allow the church, both collectively and individually, that's why you get sometimes individual prophecy, you know, to know the times of God's purposes so that the people of God would know what to do in order to prosper in those purposes. Hence, the scripture further says, somewhere in the Kings, it says that, you know, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. That prosperity isn't just money. It includes money. But it, more importantly, it's talking about prospering in the purposes of God that has been revealed through the prophet. And that's why God sends prophets to the church. To give us, it says, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. He will give us revelation and understanding of what God is doing and what God will yet do so that we can prepare for it, you know, and thereby prosper. I'm going to again make reference. I've done it so many times in the last many months because it's relevant to Kenneth Hagin and the Lord Jesus when he appeared to him in 1959. He had a lot of visions, but that particular vision in the hospital was one of the most revealing to me. Ken Hagin was a good man. He was preaching the gospel. He was doing the work of God. Then God allowed him to have a car accident. And his hand was in plaster of Paris. And he was admitted into hospital. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, came to see him in hospital. In fact, if you read his book, I Believe in Visions, the title of that chapter is A Hospital Visitor. Jesus walks, it was about 6 o'clock in the evening or something like that, you know, just walks into the hospital in his room. He said he thought it was a nurse. Because Jesus had appeared to him before, you see. He said he thought it was a nurse. He said, then he saw it was Jesus. All the hair on this thing stood up. And Jesus, very casual, he just pulled a chair, just like any visitor, sat on it. He's one an example of what's known as an open vision. In an open vision, you see and hear in the realm of the spirit, and at the same time, your physical senses are intact. You know? So Jesus sat there. And the first thing he said to him, he said, I told you that this is not my perfect will. He said, but however I have allowed it to happen, to arrest your attention. He said, and instead of being angry with me, These were his words. That I didn't stop the accident from happening, you should be thanking me. He said, because if it had not happened, you would have continued in your error. This 1959, I think it was 42 years old. And you would have died at the age of 55. And you would never have fulfilled the fullness of your ministry. He said, and the reason why this thing, I allowed it to happen, is because you put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry because it was more popular with men. And then he said to him, he rebuked him. He said, and I've told you this thing three times. He said, this is the third one. And that is why I've had to use this drastic to get your attention. You see, the Holy Spirit was already witnessing to Kenneth Hagin about it. But Kenneth Hagin ignored it because it was not... Everybody likes healing and prosperity. Nobody likes this prophetic. So you don't want to talk about that. You want to talk about what the people like. And at that time, Kenneth Hagin, this is 1959, he was friends with Demos Shakarian. Demos Shakarian was the guys who started Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship, which was started in, I think, 1953. This is 6 years down the road. So Ken Hagin was one of his good friends, you know. So they were always inviting Ken Hagin to come and do faith seminar, prayer seminar, you know, healing seminar. So he would come, Full Gospel people, you know, who Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship. They came out of the churches. They were still in churches, but they would have their meeting in hotels. We still have them here in Nigeria. You know, they'll invite businessmen. That's where the word comes from. You know, Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. So Ken Hagin would come and he would teach hundreds, thousands of them. You know, and he was very, very blessed and prosperous and successful ministry. So Ken Hagin was enjoying it. You know, and he liked it. And Jesus didn't say it was wrong. But what Jesus said was that he put his teaching ministry in front of his prophetic ministry. And then he said to him, if you look in my word, you see that the prophetic ministry always comes first. For instance, he quoted 1 Corinthians 12 to him. If it is the true Jesus who appears to you in a vision, he will never say anything contrary to the word of God. That's one sure way of knowing. Scripture says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Don't believe it because they said Jesus appeared to them. Find out what the Jesus that appeared to them. And I use the word the Jesus because Satan can appear as an angel of light. How would you know? Have you seen him before? That's why you shouldn't put too much trust in visions and dreams. They're important. They have their place. I'm going to talk about them in a minute. You know? So Jesus told him, he said, in my word, it says, firstly apostles, then secondly prophets, then thirdly teachers. Then he quoted Ephesians 4. He said, you know, he'd given some apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers. You know, he said, the prophet always comes before the teacher. He said, but that's where you missed your mistake. And he corrected him. Then he said, now I'm going to teach you about the prophetic ministry. And that's going to tie into my message now. He said, for somebody to stand in the office of the prophet, he will need at least two of the revelation gifts operating in his life on a consistent basis, in addition to the gift of prophecy. And of course, he would teach and preach the gospel, you know, the word of God. So that constitutes the true ministry of the prophet. The revelation gifts are three of them. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernings of spirits. Discernings in plural, meaning they are different. This is not discernment. That's a concept that is totally misunderstood. And many people are substituting discernment for discernment. It's not. Oh, you just feel something or you discern. No, discern of spirits means the ability to see or hear or smell in the realm of the spirit. Usually, it comes in the vision form or a dream, but many times in the vision form. And there are three levels of vision. It was Jesus who taught Kenneth Hagin all of these things. You know? He said, you know, the lowest type of vision is where you have a vision in your spirit. You see, you know, your eyes are closed, and you see something in the realm of the spirit. The second type is a trance. In the trance, your physical senses are temporarily suspended. So you don't see the physical things around you. All you just see is in the realm of the spirit. But your eyes are not closed. Then the third one is the highest form, which is the open vision, which was the one Jesus had, Kenneth Hagin had, when Jesus appeared to him. You know, he told him, he said, the time is near. You know, you need to fulfill your ministry. You know. Many years later, I got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to pray a lot in tongues and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation as instructed by Kenneth Hagin. And about 1989, I began to operate a prophetic teaching ministry. I didn't have it before then. The earlier years, 84, 85, we just had scripture pastor, teaching light scriptures, healing, deliverance, you know, prosperity, and everybody loved me. You know, church was full. But that year, 88, 89, God began to give me word of wisdom, which talks about the future, word of knowledge from God's word. I have never, up till today, you know, had discerning of spirits. I've never had it. Discerning of spirits is just a carrier gift anyway. It doesn't exist in isolation. When it's in operation, it carries either a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or both. And so, Jesus told Ken Hagin that you need two revelation gifts. He didn't say which ones, he just said two. And the two important ones are really word of wisdom, word of knowledge. If you have discerning of spirits with it, great. If you don't, it doesn't matter. So in 1990, God gave me a revelation. I preached it, you know, I taught it, and then we put it in a book. We called the book Times and Seasons. He gave me a revelation of the end time. And he also gave me a revelation on another message I taught. We also made that into a book, The Joshua Generation. All this was before Papa Ralph came. Papa Ralph came and confirmed and clarified and amplified those things. There were a lot of prophetic messages I brought. Elisha and Elijah, the man-child company, you know, times and seasons, the Joshua generation. Oh, it came. I didn't have it before. So I had stepped into the prophetic ministry. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm still in there today. Now, this message I'm going to give to you tonight is an amplification and an expansion of those prophetic revelations I received over 30, we're now in 2020, it's about 34 years now. Those ones came in 1990, 88, 89, 90. Papa Ralph first came here in 1990. I'd already preached them before Papa Ralph came. He came and he confirmed. I remember when Papa Ralph said, people were shouting all over the church. And I remember Papa Ralph saying, you know, he was saying to the church when he first came in 1990. He didn't come in 1991. Then he came again in 92. 92 was when he taught on perfection in our convention, you know. And then, you know, he came again in December, around October, November, and he taught on Esther. Those were great meetings. And Papa Rao was telling the church, he was telling the scripture pastor, you know, about me. He said, your pastor is one of the sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. So in 19, 1989-1990. These revelations came. I will just make them very brief. Two of them. I didn't read in a book. It came through the Word of God. But I knew it was true. And I preached it. Number one, the end time is characterized by three jubilee cycles. A jubilee is about 50 years. And is divided into three jubilee cycles. David, Brother Okumi Kunle, and get the chart ready. Not yet. I'll tell you when to put it up. But make sure it's ready. So when I tell you to put it up, you put it up. The first jubilee cycle is from 1900 to 1950. And it mirrors the season of trumpets, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why I've entitled this message, The Times of the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to relate to 2024 in a minute. The Times of the Feast of Tabernacles. The word times is better translated years. So when the Bible says the sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times, they had understanding of the years, of the purposes of God, and what Israel ought to do in those years. So by the end of this message, I'm going to tell you what you ought to do in 2024. And just for completeness and contrast, you need to know that what you're going to be doing in 2024 is not what you're going to be doing in 2034. Because the season will change. You say, and it's so sad. The Christian church doesn't understand. And they all, you know, just doing what they like. Well, that's going to change. Because the Bible says, Israel, when there was no king in the land, said every man did what was right in his own eyes. But that day is over. Because the kings are about to appear. And what distinguishes between a spiritual child, a spiritual servant, and a prince, and a king, is that the king operates with spirit without measure. So there is no room for, there was a great prophecy that came from a lady called Jane Lead in 1679. I think I should actually share that prophecy. I've shared it here in church many years ago, but, you know, in the light of present truth, I should actually share it again, you know. And one of the things that came from that prophecy was that the church is light and they are found wanting and they are now qualified. He said, but out of the church, he's going to bring a perfect church, a glorious church, and it will settle all controversies. We're on the verge of that now. So, in 1990, this revelation came. Three jubilee cycles. The first was in 1900 that correspond to the three seasons of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles has three sections. Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Trumpets was in the season between 1900 and 1950. And what happened in 1900 and 1950? 1900, 1901, then 1906. Tongues was restored to the church. The baptism of Holy Spirit had been absent for thousands of years. John Wesley and others touched on it, but they didn't get into the deep thing. You know, they would groan, but they really wouldn't pray in tongues, you know. Tongues was new. And the purpose of the trumpet in Old Testament Israel, one of the purposes of the trumpet, that three purposes really, the first one was to gather the people together. The second one was to give them direction to, you know, of their journeys when Israel was journeying. The third purpose of the trumpet was to prepare them for war, which is exactly what happened. In 1900, the tongues was restored to the church. And as the church began to pray and pray in tongues, within 50 years, something spectacular happened. Number one, there was the regathering of natural Israel in 1948. 1948 was a very, very significant year Because not only was there a gathering of natural Israel, that natural Israel became a nation, simultaneously at the same time, there was a regathering of the church at three levels. The Evangelical Council of Churches started with Billy Graham's ministry. Those are the guys who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, evangelicals. The Pentecostals gathered under the voice of healings of Gordon Lindsay and Kenneth Hagin and William Branham and all of those guys. Then the Kingdom people gathered under the Lateran movement in Canada in 1940, all of it in 1948. Not a coincidence. It was the fulfillment of the feast of the season of trumpets. Also, around that time, again, as I'm going to be sharing with you as we go on, prophetic shadows are shadows. You cannot and should not, if you have understanding, be fixated on a specific day, time, and year. You don't do that. They're seasons. A little, for instance, we said it's 1900 to 1950, but Israel was actually crowned in 1948, which is about 2 years of that. That's a shadow. So what happened was all these three levels, the natural Israel was regathered. Then spiritual Israel was regathered. The Evangelical Council of Churches. Then this same 1948, the Pentecostals gathered in the voice of healings. This same 1948, the Kingdom people, like talking about perfection, people like George Warnock and others, gathered in what was known as the Lateran movement that set the stage for the church for the next 50 years. The second season was a season of the Day of Atonement, in which the Word of God began to have an emphasis on teaching of the Word of God. You know, and the men that primarily were used in this movement was Kenneth Hagin, primarily, Derek Prince, and others. You know, I don't know all their names, you know. There was a strong emphasis on the teaching of God's Word. And there was a reason for it. What does the Word of God do? He said, He gave us the Word of God that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The purpose of the season of the Day of Atonement was to cleanse the church using the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to give the church the experience of what we know as cleansing perfection. That season too has been fulfilled. 1995, here in Scripture Pasture, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, we're going to get revelation on perfection and cleansing perfection. Things I've never heard anybody say or preach. And a lot of messages, what we call the landmark messages, all came. Put everything in our website 5 years later in 2000. You know, and 1995 was a seminal year because that year, I remember that convention. I can never forget it. The glory cloud came here. How many people were here in 1995? Papa Hagin was stuck. Papa Ralph, sorry. He was stuck on the floor. He said, OJ, I can't get up. It's like Velcro. We couldn't get up. There was a visitation we'd never seen before. And it didn't happen again after that. God allowed it to happen as a sign. So we ended another season from 995, or you can see 2000. Again, see the shadow. The shadow is 1950 to 2000, but it actually happened in 1995 and then continued to happen. So we're in the third season now, which is the season of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is 2000 to 2050, about. Again, it's a shadow. It's, you know, don't go and say, Pastor Olubi said Jesus come back in 2050. No, I don't know. I don't know. Jesus didn't know the day or the hour, neither do I. But I know the season. It will be about then. It could be 2051. It could be 2055. 2056, I don't know. But it will be around that season. One thing I certainly know is that it's not tomorrow. Because I understand the times and the seasons. It's not tomorrow. It's not 2030. It's not 2034. It's not going to be 2040. It's not going to come. It's coming. But there are other things that have to happen before he comes, which is the purpose of this prophetic message. So God gave me this revelation of three 50-year cycles. 50 is Jubilee. So the first Jubilee was fulfilled and Israel was released back into the land. Because Jubilee is a time of release, which is exactly what happened. Israel that had been out of the land for thousands of years, that land, in fact, in natural Israel, in the Jubilee, you restore the land to people after they've lost it through either they didn't have money or all of that. You know, that's what Jubilee is. And for the first time, after 2,000 years, as far as I know, and nobody, I've put this challenge out for years, nobody has been able to correct me or say it's not so. For the first time, after almost 2,000 years, Jesus appears to a man and begins to teach. That's apart from Paul, it's never happened in human. In people have had visions of Jesus. They just see him for 2 minutes. He lays hands on them. They get healed and all that. But it's different. If you look at the visions of Kenneth Hagin, spread over a 30, 40-year period, Jesus would appear to him and he would teach him. Sometimes 1 hour. Teach him about the prophetic ministry. There's another one, you know, I think that was in 1952. He was preaching for a pastor. You know, in those days they didn't have hotels, you know, and the church didn't have money like we have money now. So they couldn't afford to put the pastors, the visiting pastor in a hotel. So he would stay in the house, in the parsonage of the pastor who invited him. They would stay in the guest room, in the guest chalet, you know. And he had a prayer meeting, the pastor and his daughter. They knelt down to pray. Kenneth Hagin, and, you know, immediately entered a white cloud. This one was a spiritual vision. It was not an open vision. It wasn't a trance. Immediately he knelt down, he entered into a white cloud, and he saw Jesus in front of him. And then Jesus began to talk to him. That was when he got the message, you can have what you say. Jesus told him some things, and then as Jesus was trying to go, was leaving, he said, Lord, there is a message I've been trying to download. He said, but I have not been able to pick it. He said, please, Lord, now you are here, can you tell me? Jesus looked at him and smiled sweetly, and he said to him, he said, yeah. He said, my spirit has been trying to get that message across to you. He said, but you haven't picked it. He said, but now I'm here, I'll give it to you. You know? And then, you know, from Mark 11:23, then he took him to the story of David and Goliath. How David said 5 times he would defeat Goliath. And that's what happened. And when he closed his eyes, he says, when he closed his eyes, he will see Jesus. He said, once he opens his eyes, Jesus will disappear. It's a spiritual vision. You see him in your spirit. You close your eyes, you see him. You open your eyes, he's gone. And he wrote it all down. It's in another book called, you know, You Can Have What You Say. It's there. You know, it's recorded there. So anyway, so we have 20, these seasons. It's very important to understand the seasons. So it makes 150 years. If you take it from 1900, 1950, 1950, 2000, 2000 to 2050. So that's what we're looking at. We're in 2024 now. You know, in a few minutes, we've been 2024. You know, we're entering the last season. We haven't fully entered it yet, but we're about to enter it. Then something else the Lord said to me that I want to share with us. You see, this last season from 2000 to 2050, which is 50 years, is divided into 25-year periods. The first period is the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit. That is why in this last 25 years or 30 years, since about 1995 up till now, there's been an emphasis on love and the development of the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's the first, that's why the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Feast of Ingathering. That's the first thing you have to bring, is bring in the fruit. And that's gone from, we're now in 2024, you know, up to 2025. I'm going to share more about this in a few minutes. You know, then the second part of the season is the last part, which is the ingathering of disciples from every tribe, tongue, and kindred. The ingathering of the nations. That season is what will start from about 2025 and onwards. We're in the tail end of the season of the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit. Then he gave me another revelation, which I wrote in the Joshua generation. This is back 30 years ago. And there's still the generation. Jesus is speaking, and he begins to tell them about the end time and all the things. He said, and when you see these things come to pass, let's go there. It's in Matthew 24. Hello? We're going to get to 2024 in a minute. I know you know what people want to hear. You know, I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to make the mistake I think he made. I'm not going to put the teaching ministry above the prophetic ministry. See, people want to come on a day like this and just hear, God, we bless you. And I'm going to say that one too. Because God is going to bless you. But you know, my own is going to be conditional. That's what true prophets do. I must tell you the truth. I must not let you live in a world of, you know, fake sense of security that will kill you if you don't know the truth. But if I tell you the truth and you're properly prepared, then you will succeed. I got amen only from the pastors. What's wrong with our mouths over there? Thank you. Right. Matthew chapter 24. Who's still on my side? And it's verse 36 somewhere there. Yeah. Yes. I'm going to read, yes, from verse 32. Jesus has been teaching on the end time. Derek Prince, Kenneth Hagin, all true prophetic teachers, and there are many false ones. That's why I said that. I'll be dealing with that later in the new year. Overcoming the deception of lying prophets. There are plenty of them. And usually they're the older prophets. Remember the old prophet? He lied to the younger prophet. And the young prophet was gullible. And it cost him his life. Anyway. So all the true prophets will tell you this. Matthew 24 is the stem of prophecy, end time prophecy. Every other thing branches out from it. Doctors who have done anatomy, they will tell you, when you take the skeleton of the human being, you understand, you've got the spinal cord that runs from the base here right through. All the nerves and everything go through that. It's the stem. Then every other thing branches out from it. That's how Matthew 24 is. And that's why Jesus taught it. Because they asked him three questions. He said, when shall these things be? You know? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the world? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. Then he begins this wonderful discourse. And he breaks it down. You know? And when he said all of the things, he now said, now, everybody open your mouth. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye. God did not expect his church to be ignorant. We're not supposed to be walking in darkness. It's in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. He said, you are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. He said, you should know perfectly the times and the seasons. It's very sad and disheartening that the church has not been taught properly the prophetic. And we got a lot of fake rubbish all over the whole place. We should not be in ignorance. You should be able to know. Of course, you won't know the day and the hour. You will not know the exact, no. But you will know the time and the season. And the purpose of knowing that is to prepare you so that you can prosper in those seasons. When you are ignorant, you will not prepare. And when you don't prepare, you don't prosper. Like he told me, you know, in October, he said, I couldn't come. He said, you as an individual, you were ready to some degree, yes. He said, but a lot of your people are not ready. He said, if I had come, it would have been a disaster. And that includes scripture, Pastor. We're going to get it right now. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is there. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, what things? Rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences. All these things he had been talking about in the earlier part of Matthew 24. He said, when you see all of these things, and we have seen them. Correction, we are seeing them. No. When you see all these things, know that it is near. It's not there. It is near. Even at the doors. Then he tells us something. Verse 34. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. What generation? It was not his generation. They're dead. You know, Jesus died at the age of 33. Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, almost 37 years, almost 40 years later. That gives time span of prophetic fulfillment. Almost 40 years later. And I'm sure people were saying, oh, mind him. You're all talking. See, nothing has happened. He said, I say unto you, he said, you see this temple? He said, not one stone will be left upon the other until the whole thing will be dismantled. He said, and these people will be carried away into the Gentiles. Did it happen? But did it happen overnight? No. It happened in its season. After Jesus had taught it. So it's not his generation. It was not just his generation. He was talking about the generation that sees the budding of the fig tree, which typifies the natural nation of Israel. The generation that sees Israel restored back to the land is the generation from which you start counting down. He said, that generation will not pass until every other thing, the tribulation, everything he has said, the return of Jesus will take place, that generation will not pass. So the question then to ask is, what is a generation? And I'll tell you the answer. Very simple. It's about 100 years. God told Abraham, he said that, I'm going to put your people in another land for 400 years. He said, and in the fourth generation, Genesis chapter 15, I will bring them out. So, this is not based on Olubi's family or Boyega's family. This is based on what God said. So, that's why we can hold it. A generation is about 100 years. So, if you take 1948, when Israel became a nation, and you add 100 years, what do you get? 2048, which coincides with the end of the last season of Tabernacles. This is a faithful saying that cannot be gainsaid. Can take you to the bank. Not because Olubi said it, but because it's in line with the word of God. The Bible says, if they speak not according to this word, it says, because there is no light in them. So let's now move on to 2024. But before I go to 2024, let me, so, excuse me. Yes. Good. So we got these three seasons. The season of trumpets is being fulfilled. The season of the Day of Atonement is being fulfilled. We're in the last one now, in two sections. We're now in the season of ingathering. We're now gathering the revelation, the practice, the experience of the fruit of the Spirit, or the perfection of the love of God. That's where we're in now. We're at the tail end of it. Then we're going to enter the last season, which is this ingathering of the nations. So we're going to make disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. And God doesn't play with words. He says exactly what he means. There will be disciples like Peter, James, and John, like the 12 and the 70, in every tribe. Every. The Yoruba, the Fulani, the Hausa, the Ibibio, the Efik, the Igbo, you know, the Kanuri. Every tribe. Nigeria alone has about 500. Nigeria alone. If you go to Congo, if you go to China, if you go to Russia, there are hundreds of tribes. It's not talking about geopolitical nations. It's talking about tribes. Ethnos. But that can only be done by the power of the Spirit without measure. So this last section, this last part, is going to be characterized by the release of the Spirit without measure upon the church. There will be those who will be in leadership that will inherit the full thing. Then there will be those who will be following them that will partake of it on a borrowed anointing. And together, I and the children that God has given me, they will make these disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. And it's only then the rapture will happen. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached for a witness unto all tribes. The word is ethnos. So then the end will come. So he tells you, he says it's near, but it's not here yet. It's near, but it's not here yet. So, what of 2024? What is God saying for 2024? Very simple. 2024, and maybe a little bit of 2025, as the time unfolds, it will become clearer. See, because one thing we have to understand about prophetic shadows and fulfillment is that it is a God and man cooperation. See, because of a lack of understanding and the presumptuousness of the church, look at how the church has fallen flat on her face. And God allowed it to happen. To bring us to our senses and cause us to now become honest and humble ourselves so that we can grow and get better. All the prophets prophesied Trump was coming back. God didn't allow it to happen because we're not the will of God. We now know it's not the will of God, seeing the way the man has behaved afterwards. But people believed it. Fast forward to Nigeria. Excluding me. they were all prophesying about what was going to happen during the elections. Everything failed. You know why? God wants to show the church that these, their so-called prophets, are not true prophets. Many of them are corrupted prophets. Some of them had originally a true anointing. But like Saul, that anointing became corrupted because of covetousness, primarily pride, stubbornness. But the real thing is on the way. It's here, actually. So, what do we do in 2024? 2024 is going to be a year of selection and preparation. I wrote it down. Hello? 2024 is going to be a year. Everybody say it after me. Of selection and preparation of those who will inherit and partake of the Spirit without measure from about 2025 and upwards. So got a year. About a year to prepare properly. So what should Israel do? That's what the prophet does. The son of Issachar. Understanding of the years. And what Israel ought to do during those years. So what should the church do in 2024? My message is coming to an end. You should prepare yourself. How? Concentrate on the prosperity of your soul. I spoke of it on Christmas Day, talking about making more room for Jesus. You know, is it like a sequence of messages? And I spoke of it this morning in church. Concentrate on the prosperity of your soul. Every day, you should pray for more of the humility. Of course, you can't pray. You humble yourself. You see, God is not going to humble you. But you choose to fear God. So you humble yourself. You submit to the will of God. Then you say with your mouth, I am more meek and lowly in heart. Do it every day. Each day, God will answer that prayer and you get more humble. So you'll be more humble today than you were yesterday. And you'll be more humble tomorrow than you were today. And you keep doing that through 2024. Number two, I'm saying what Israel ought to do. Number two, pray daily for more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It follows the other one because revelation cannot come if there's no humility. So the more humility, the more revelation. More of the spirit of wisdom. Pay from Ephesians 1 prayer and some of the other Pauline prayers. It's all in our app, you know, and we've given you all the instructions on Christmas Day so that you can really, you know, hand on to. Then number three, pray for every day for more of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So you will think, you will speak, you will feel, you will act like God in every circumstance and situation. And you yourself, you can measure yourself. It's metrics, spiritual metrics. A metric is just something you use to measure. You'll be able to look at yourself, have I more fruit today than I had yesterday? Sometimes the daily metric is not so something. Sometimes you look at it quarterly, every month, every 3 months. Ah, yes! Then you are confident that you may be accounted worthy. I said it today during the message about end time Goshens. The perils of the end time are not going to get, they're not going to reduce. They're going to increase. But there will be Goshens of protection and refuge for the people of God. And even honest-hearted unbelievers. Bimbo, put the chart up now. Good. Timeline of the Feast of Tabernacles. 1900 to 1950, about. Season of Trumpets is being fulfilled. You know, Azusa Street Revival, you know, the regathering of Israel, the evangelicals, the Pentecostals, and the kingdom people in 1948. I spoke about that. Tick. Has been fulfilled. Number two, 1950 to 2000, season of Day of Atonement is being fulfilled. Revelation and experience of cleansing perfection from 1995 onwards. It has happened. It's happening now. All my Christian years, I really never heard anybody preach and teach with clarity on perfection until this. It just started pouring out around that time. And all in line with the Word of God. The third section is where we are now, 2000 to 2050, divided into two sections, the season of ingathering, the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit, perfecting the love of God. It is being fulfilled as we speak. It is those that practice that. They don't have to be perfect, but they have to practice it. That will get to the next section, which is 2025 to 2050, that will be in gathering of disciples. And I always joke with you, I'm going to send you to Afghanistan. It's no longer a joke. You're going. Yeah. But I'm not going to say anybody doesn't have spirit out measure. I will not send them to their death. If you're not doing it here in Ibadan, you're not going anywhere. It is the people I see that, this one can handle it. Then I'm going to go and drop you behind enemy lines. Hello. Wave to me now. See, church doesn't want to hear the truth. Don't hear God, we will all bless you. You know, 2024 is going to be a great year. It's going to be a victorious year. Are you listening to me? Like I said in the afternoon, it's going to be a great year. But the thing is, you concentrate on the prosperity of your soul. Then 2024, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see more healing, more health in your life. You're going to see more prosperity, more blessing in every area of your life. Your profiting will appear in all things in 2024. But all is tied to the prosperity of your soul. The more you prosper your soul, the more you will see those things. Hello? You can take this off now as I close. I want to look at a few more scriptures, and then we're done. Look at Hosea chapter 6. Hosea 6, verses 2 and 3. Great scripture. He says, after 2 days he will revive us, as he gives life. He's talking about cleansing perfection. Then in the third day, he will raise us up. He's talking about manifesting perfection, the spirit without measure. And we will live in his presence. Verse 3. Then after 2 days, then in the third day, we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain, speaking of the spirit without measure, onto the earth. So what's going to happen is this. When you're talking about the reviving, the cleansing perfection, you're counting from the birth of Christ. When you're talking about the raising up, you know, and the glory, you're talking from the time of the maturity of Christ, which is at the age of 30. Now it's when Christ inherited the spirit without measure. So if you're looking at 1995... which is the third 1,000 year from the birth of Christ, you now add 30 to it, you get 2025. That's the time we're in now. So this 2024 is a preparation year. A year of cleansing. A year of preparation. More humility. More fruit. More revelation. Prayer. Walking in the Spirit, all these things we've taught. We're not going to teach all of that tonight. So, I need to just add a few details here. I wrote here in my notes. Thank you, Jesus. About 2025, and I use the word about deliberately, because we're dealing with prophetic shadows. Yes, I didn't say this. I should say it. And there's a God and man God and man cooperation. That is why the Bible talks in 2 Peter, says we hasten. I mean, can I delay it? Yes. Can I hasten it? Yes. Thank God for our fathers. Instead of 2050, we got the thing in 2048. We brought it 2 years ahead. For cleansing perfection, we got it 995. We brought it 5 years ahead. Yes, we can hasten it. Yes, we can hasten it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, in this season that is coming, we can hasten it. And we will hasten it in Jesus' name. God told Israel, he told Abraham, he said, you're going to spend 400 years. But Israel actually did not come out of Egypt until 430 years. Why? Moses. Moses killed the Egyptian and tried to use natural power to do only what could be done by the Spirit. And God got to get him out of there, took him to the land of Midian, and broke him and his pride for another 40 years. It was after he was ready, he appeared to him in a burning bush and told him, now go back. If the Moses that killed the Egyptian was the one that brought them out of the promised land, nobody would have survived. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows what he's doing. God is in control. So that's why it's about. What we're doing or not doing can either hasten or delay. But I believe since we got it right in the first two seasons, we'll get it right in the third season. Get it right in the third season. The other thing I have here is that, so about 2025, the flood of glory will hit the church. And the foundation of the temple will be laid. So, are we not the temple? No, we're a tabernacle. As at today. We're not a temple yet. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hello? And look at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is writing by revelation. In his time, he said, well, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built on what? The foundation of the what? The apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ in himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple on the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This was experienced to a small degree in the early church, built on the foundation of Peter, James, Paul, John, those apostles who inherited, they didn't get the full thing, but they got spirit out measure from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that temple was built, but you know what? It was destroyed. It was destroyed in history. No marvel. What happened in history? The temple of Solomon was built. It was destroyed by the Babylonians. Then Zerubbabel and Ezra and others came and then rebuilt the temple again. Now is when that prophecy came that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. History is repeating itself. It always does. So now in this time, we are going to rebuild the temple again. Just like Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and others rebuild the temple. With a spirit without measure that is going to be released in the flood of glory, we will lay the foundation on present day apostles and prophets with the same Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It will not be a tabernacle. The tabernacle does not have a foundation. The tabernacle is made up of animal skins. The material is... So that's why after some years... But the temple is going to be built with stones. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of it in 1 Kings chapter 6. He said, great stones of 8 cubits and 10 cubits. And God is preparing them now. Glory be to God. And when our temple is finished, and it will be finished, take about 7 years, same time as Solomon's temple, about 7 years. It will be built in troublous times. During that time, there will be a universal persecution of the church. You'll be hated of all nations for my... This is all still ahead of us. For my name's sake. And they will try and, you know, kill someone, but they won't succeed. They will not succeed. Go and read this. It's in Matthew chapter 24. I'm not going to go back there. You know, it says, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end, shall die. The temple will be finished. And the glory of God will inhabit the temple. And what we see and read, what we have read in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, and that all the people were gathered together, and 120 priests, and says, and the glory of God filled the house of God. All that will happen again. With greater glory and with greater vision. All this is ahead of us. But this, where we are in now, is the time of preparation. You need to know that. That your heart will not be, you know, Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The other thing that I must mention as I close is that they're going to be, after the temple is finished and the glory of God inhabits the temple, then some of the things we've prophesied and said over the years will now become commonplace. Kenneth Hagin prophesied this. Many of the great prophets, Smith Wigglesworth, they all prophesied this, that a time is going to come in the church where healing will be as common as tongues is now. I'm talking about spectacular healings, cancer and all that. No problem. Virtue went out of him and healed them all. Now, we see once the temple is finished and more people inherit this spirit without measure, both inheritance and borrowed, we're going to see spectacular manifestations of the power and the glory of God that has not been seen since the time of Jesus. Then it's even going to be greater. This is all that is ahead of us. With that power and that glory, it will take us just about 14 years. Again, about, it's a shadow. 2 times 7, or should we say 7 times 2? 7 is completion, 2 is witness. The completion of making disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. That will take us from 2025, where we lay the foundation, finish the temple about 2032, then another 14 years of that, you get 2046. So we beat it. We bring it from 2050. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be exactly like that, but I'm saying that's the time. The timeline, the time frame. What I have done, what I've been instructed to do, and I've done tonight is give you a prophetic overview of the next 30 years or 40 years. And what we're going to do in 2024 now and the years to come, you can see how it's going to fit in to the general overall plan. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. Stand to your feet. I know it's not the most Yahoo message, but you don't need a Yahoo message. You need a message that will properly prepare you. I'm 64 years old. By the grace and the mercy of God. My wife is 63. We're looking at the next 20, 30 years. By the time we'll be where we're in our 80s and 90s, by the time this whole thing is wrapping up, the rapture, so we're going to stay in good health. I spoke about Moses today. He says his natural strength was not abated. His eye was not dim. Someone say, how? The man lived in the presence of God. He lived in the glory of God. The Bible says when he came down from the man, they couldn't look at his face because of the intensity of the light that was coming out of him. Hallelujah! The glory of God. Live in the glory. Prosper your soul so you can enjoy more healing, more health, more prosperity. Are closing. Don't listen to lying prophets. They'll tell you a lot of exciting that will itch your ears. But they're not telling you the truth. The truth is in this Bible, which I have preached to you tonight. What I have told you now is going to secure your future. You will fulfill your destiny. You will live long. You will prevail. Where iniquity is abounding, grace will much more abound in your life. Where sickness is abounding, healing will abound much more in your life. Where poverty is abounding, prosperity will abound much more in your life. You will spend your days in pleasure and your years in prosperity. What I've told you tonight, if you will listen and you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, will secure your life and your future. You can sit down now and plan your future. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Don't follow the world. And don't follow the majority of the church. You've seen these last few years. God has exposed them. Want to follow somebody? Say, follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Follow them who are doing the word of God. If they speak not according, he said, to the law and to the testimony. What have I preached you tonight? The law and the testimony. So if they speak not according to this word, says because there is no light in them. Let's talk to God. So we can start praying at 11 o'clock. We'll pray until about 11:45. And then go into the new year. Let's talk to God. I'm pressing on the upper way.
I'm pressing on the upper way. You are to me.
Every day.
Need every day.
Still pray.
Still pray.
Higher ground.
Lord, higher.
Lord, lift me up. On higher ground. Where doubts arise. And fear is dismay. Though some may dwell. Where these abound. Oh, hallelujah.
My prayer, my amen.
Satan's darts
at me,
for faith has heard. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The joyful sound, the song of saints.
Oh, sing it.
Lord, lift me up.
one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. We're all going to pray in a minute, you know. We're going to call all the ancestors, they're going to come and lead us in prayer, as our custom is as we go into the new year. There's only one plan for this new year: higher ground. Turn to your neighbor, say, higher ground. Higher ground. Higher ground. See, most people don't want to hear the fact that you have to prosper your soul. But it's going to be the key to everything. Your soul is like a switch. Power is in the spirit, but it doesn't come into the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body, except through the soul. . 2024 is a year of preparation. The eyes of the Lord are growing through and through the whole church and selecting. Those that are selected are going to be prepared, purified. Then after they're prepared, then they'll now be compacted. You bring them together, they will form the ark and fill the ark. Then the glory will hit. He has a clear plan and it's going to happen. And you're privileged. He said, to those that are outside, he said, I speak in parable. He said, but to you, the children of the kingdom, he said, I speak clearly so that you can partake of the mysteries of the kingdom. Pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us understanding of the years, the times of the years, and what we ought to do so we can prosper in your purposes for the church, in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, the fulfillment of the ingathering in our lives of the fruit of the Spirit, the perfection of the love of God, of the Spirit without measure, so that we can make disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred, and close this age. Oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to see. Help me to believe. Help me to act so that I can partake of the great things that you have shown us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Father, Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood, your life, your power, in and upon our wills, la prikitolo matofres, our minds, la prikitolo matofresk, our emotions, ritolo matofresk, our bodies, ritolo matofres, our circumstances, renangla matolo matofreshe, our regional heavenlies, ritolo matofreshe, insufficient measure, renangla tolo mashele prikitofres. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, I'm just going to speak a word. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. Father, just stretch your hand. If you are home, stretch it towards your screen. You need strength. Strength to pray. Strength to walk in the Spirit. Strength to do the will of God. And God just reminded me. He said, remind them. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. His commandments are not grievous. God's not asking us to go and do some horrible thing, you know. He said, he's not beyond the sea. He's not across the sky. He said, his word is night. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart. All these things we're telling you to do, they're easy things. Anybody can do it. I just got a word. Who wants to do it? Anybody can do it. Who wants to do it? Be willing to do it. If you need healing, Father, we release the healing power of God to strengthen and encourage people so that they will have the strength to pray. the strength to fast, the strength to obey you, Lord, so that they can be properly prepared for the glory that is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.